Amen. Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day and praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you a schedule. I think the banquet day's been picked for the 23rd. If that's a Friday, I think that's right, isn't it? So, Brother Tom said you still got 3 days. We still got 3 days. If you hadn't read your Bible, you'd make it in 3 days. It's better to flee the wrath to come than to deny its coming.
Right.
Yeah. About over here, Matthew wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a
king.
King is right. Okay, down through here, Mark wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a
servant
is right. Down through here, Luke wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ as a man is correct. Over here, we're looking in the book of John, and he told us over and over and over again that Jesus is God is correct. We're in chapter 5. Last week, we looked at verse 39. It says, search the Scriptures. We were trying to do that practically, physically, personally. And we were searching in particular Moses. We'll see here why in a minute. It says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Then drop down to verse 45. It says, do you not think that I will accuse you to the Father? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. And again, God breathed to Moses the first 5 books of the Bible. That's what we've been looking at. Verse 46, for had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. This is red letters, the Lord talking. For he wrote of me. He wrote about Jesus. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Let's look at it again in Luke 16. 31, the rich man and Lazarus, the story of their story. Verse 31, or 30, verse 30, I'm sorry, 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And then in Luke 24. Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all. You believe it all this morning? Sure, we don't want to be slow. We don't want to be foolish. We want to believe it all. All that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. I can't wait till a big Sunday school when I get to hear that lesson when the Lord takes us through the Moses and the prophets. But just for today, all you get, let's start about Deuteronomy 7:7. And this is just part of what Moses wrote down, part, a little bit of what he believed. Here's Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number. Now, a lot of these verses we're reading pertains to Israel. I'm not trying to say it's the church, but there's principles. There's some principles that's the same. The church is not Israel, and Israel is not the church. Verse 7, the Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because He'd keep His oath. Now, the Lord didn't love us because He didn't love Brother Rick because he's lovable. He loved me because He loves me.
Yeah.
Right.
It's what the Bible says.
Right.
He loves you because He loves you. And we didn't earn that. And I surely don't deserve that. He loves us because He loves us. Let's back up a little bit. Deuteronomy 4. We're talking about what Moses said. The Lord says it's important if I believe this. Deuteronomy 4:2. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord, the big Lord your God, which I command you. That's what Moses believed. He believed not to add a word to it or subtract a word from it. And that way I could keep it. Now, if I go through and start marking out words or adding words, I'm not keeping it. If you remember when we looked up the word keep, the first 13 definitions mean this. To hold on to it.
Yeah.
Then we get to the one we normally think of first, to obey it. To obey it. I can't obey it if I don't keep it.
Right.
If I don't hold on to it. I'm not obeying it when I'm going around changing it. Adding words, taking away words. That's not keeping it. That's not. Chapter 8. What Moses believed, the Lord says it's important that I believe it. Chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Thou shalt, let's just do 3. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Well, the Lord believed that, and Moses believed it. He says it's important that I believe it. Well, that's the same thing Luke believed. Let's look in Luke 4:4. See, it all fits together like hand and glove. Luke 4:4, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Well, that's the same thing Matthew believed. Matthew 4:4. They got it from Moses. They believed Moses, and they believed the Lord. Matthew 4:4. And He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 12, 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. If thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. That's what Moses said. And Jesus said it was important that I believe that. If I didn't believe what He said, I wouldn't believe the red letters. That's what the Lord said. Well, that's the same thing Solomon believed. Proverbs 30. We're in good company right here. Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, I think it is. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. That's what Solomon believed. It's what Moses believed. It's what Matthew and Luke believed. It's what Jesus believed. That's what John the Revelator believed. Let's look over there in chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. That's what John the Revelator believed. It's what Jesus believed. It's what Solomon believed. It's what Matthew and Luke believed. It's what Moses believed.
Yeah.
I think I'll just get it. Well, what about Ezra? He had something to say about it.
Yeah.
Let's go back and see Ezra. Chapter 6, verse 11. Also, I've made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let the timbers be pulled down from his house and being set up like a scaffold. Let him be hanged thereon and let his house be made a dunghill for this. I don't think I'm going to alter. I think I'm just going to keep everywhere. I don't think I'm going to add nothing to it. I don't think I'm going to subtract nothing. I'm not going to alter it. I'm not going to change it. I'm just going to take it. We'll take it. It doesn't need to be rethought. It needs to be rethought.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 11. What else did Moses believe? Deuteronomy 11, 18 and 19. Therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart, in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes, and ye shall teach them your children. Speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. See, we've got to pass it on. We're one generation away from extinction. We took an extra credit class last summer, and the last thing he said, the last chapter, the last page was, we've got to pass it on. We've got to. It's imperative. It's the most important thing there is to pass it on. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. If thy brother, that be Greg, the son of thy mother, that be Greg in my case, or thy son, that be Sam or Paul, or thy daughter, that be Autumn or Kelly, or the wife, that be Tim of thy bosom, or thy friends, that be mischievous Jared, which has thy own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. The Lord Moses was against false prophets. Deuteronomy 27:8. Doesn't matter who it is, if I'm kin to them. Deuteronomy 27:8. Thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of the law very plainly. Any questions? I'm having trouble understanding my Bible. Can you help me out with this? What does this mean? All the words. Moses believed all the words.
Yes.
What Moses believed. The Lord says it's important for me to believe what Moses believed. 28:58. Still in Deuteronomy. 28:58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. So I'm supposed to go with all the words. 29:9. Keep therefore the words. You reckon that means all of them?
Yeah.
Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. I don't think I can just go through there marking out words. And notice it says, to do them to prosper. You don't do them to go to heaven. You do them to prosper. To prosper. Not to go to heaven. That's not salvation. We're looking at something else today. Chapter 30, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden. You got it on your lap.
Right.
Neither is it far off. No, it's preserved. It's not far away. It's not. Now, there's a copy in heaven, but that's not the only place it is. It's not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to heaven to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea. It's not in Greece. It's not in the Greek. It's not in the Hebrew. It is. But you also got it. It's all. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh thee, in thy mouth and thy heart, that thou mayest do it.
Amen.
See, I have set before thee this day life and good.
Right.
There's only two paths.
Right.
Life and good is one path. Death and evil is the other path. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou goest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey His voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto Him, for He is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. Preservation. That's what we're talking about. 32, Deuteronomy 32. 31. For their rock, talking about the world, their little R rock is not like our big R rock. It's not as our rock. Even our enemies themselves know that. The enemy knows that their little R rock is not like your big R rock.
That's right.
They know that. Oh, do we know it?
Yeah.
Do I know it? Let's look at an example of it in Joshua 2. Starting in verse 9. This is Rahab. She hid the men, spies. She said to the men, I know. Do you know it?
Yeah.
Do I know it?
Yeah.
Do we know it this morning?
Yeah.
Do we?
Yes,
you know? And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what He did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom He utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. That's what the enemies believe. That's what they said. And Moses said, their little R rock's not like our rock. Our big R rock. Verse 46. Deuteronomy 32:46. He said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do all the words of the law. Let's try this phrase. How about a memory phrase? Set your hearts unto all the words. Can we say that together? Set your hearts unto all the words. How about this side over here? Set your heart unto all the words. How about down through here? Set your heart unto all the words. Over here, can we do it? Set your heart unto all the words. How about over in the corner? Set your heart unto all the words. How about together now? Would you humor me, all of us together? Set your heart unto all the words. Hallelujah. That's John chapter 5. Let's look at chapter 6. Got a little bit of time here. John chapter 6 is called the Great Bread chapter. It reveals the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life. Let's look at it in verse 33. It's John 6:33. For the bread of God is He. Any questions? Having trouble understanding it, Brother Teddy. My Bible's so hard to understand. The bread of God is He. How about verse 35? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Pretty good deal. Pretty good deal. Great bread chapter. Guess who the bread is? It's Him. Verse 48. I am the bread of life. Red letters? It'd be just like Moses, wouldn't it? Yeah, I am the bread of life. How about verse 51? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. It's the Lord talking in the great bread chapter right now. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. We live on Him. The written word and the living word. It's sustenance. It's the mainstay. Bread's the main thing. I got to have it with every meal, or I think I do. I like that bread. And I like the vegetables. You take the meat, I'll take the bread and vegetables. I'll take the cabbage. Cooked cabbage.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this, we're going to look at a miracle here. The first 14 verses is a miracle. And this miracle is so important. It's in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. It's in all four books, all four Gospels, if you will. But we're going to look at it right here. The supplying of the bread. The supplying of the bread. Verse 1 is the place. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then verse 2 is the people. A great multitude followed Him. Because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. That's why we want to set our hearts on all the words. Because they saw the miracles which He did. That's the people. It's a fact we're all messed up. We are. The preacher's right. Verse 14, here's the people. Then those men, which when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Well, they're getting warm here, prophet. He's God, Brother Tay. They missed it. They're coming up. They're learning a little bit, but they missed it. He's God. Brother Teddy is right. Verse 26, here's the people. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Some follow because they get to eat. Some follow to see the miracles. But Teddy said we need to follow because we believe He's God, because we have faith in Him as God. This is a representative to me. This represents God to me. And I get to read in there and see what God's like. The people, they were interested. We're going to get to faith is how you get into heaven. But then after that, the only motive to serve is love. It's the only motive they'll be rewarded. We can serve to see the miracles. We can serve to eat the food downstairs. We can do that. We kid about the Bible Reader's Banquet. You got the real reward all year long. That was the reward. It's just a time when we get together and have fun with it.
Verse
3. He separated and He sat down. Jesus went up into the mountain and there He sat with His disciples. There's the man's side. 100% God, 100% man. He sat down. That's His humanity side in verse 3. And then, verse 4 is what period of time it was. It was the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. Now, through the Gospels, through the life of Christ, now the Passover is similar to our Easter. They celebrate it once a year. And in the Gospels, the life of Christ, He went to three of them. It's another proof, or maybe even the main proof, that Jesus' ministry was for 3 or 3.5 years. Let's look at the other two times He attended the Passover. John 2:13. There actually could be about 6 months in front of this one. For 3.5 years, or if it is 3.5 years. And the Jewish Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. This is the first one. Then in John 6, we're reading about the second one. And then in John 11:55, is the third time He goes to the Passover. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. So that's the third Passover He went to. 3 years of ministry. Verse 5 is the cause for the miracle. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company coming to Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? The problem was there was no bread. There was no bread. And He wasn't really asking for advice. He's trying to increase Philip's faith. Trying to get Philip to think and to believe. To believe. Verse 6 is the challenge. And this He said to prove him, for he himself knew what he was to do. And he wasn't going to bite. He wasn't going to bite. The challenge was to increase his faith. Verse 7 is a protest. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. It's not enough. Philip sees the problem. He said, I always see the problem. I can see the problem. I can be like Philip. He doesn't see the power. Right down under here, Andrew's coming up real soon. Now, he's looking for a miracle. Andrew's searching for a miracle. Verse 8, one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Yeah. What's that among so many? Still, he's wanting one. Andrew's wanting one. He's wanting one. Now, 200, back up in verse 7. 200 always stands in the Bible, always stands for insufficient. Not enough. Not enough. Joshua, in chapter 7. Joshua in chapter 7, verse 21. 200 wasn't enough for Achan. It wasn't enough to save Achan. Chapter 7, verse 21. When I saw, it's Achan talking. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. 200 wasn't enough to save Achan. It was insufficient. It wouldn't save Absalom either. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 14. Verse 25. In all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in it. It's a dumb question, but I'll go ahead and ask. Any of you men want to be beautiful? I didn't think so. Let's look at it over in 1 Corinthians 11. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman has long hair, it's glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now there's something wrong if a man's glory is his hair. Let's go back to 2 Samuel here, 20. We're in 14:26. And when he pulled his head, it's talking about Solomon now, beautiful Solomon. Absalom. And when he pulled his head, for it was every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. And the weight of the hair of his head was 200 shekels. After the king's weight. Now, I just happened to be reading something somewhere else. I don't know if it's true or not. But what I read was 200 shekels was 6.5 pounds. Anyway, he had a lot of it. But it wasn't sufficient to save him. Let's look in chapter 18, 2 Samuel 18, 9. And Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. Brother Roloff said he rode on, the mule walked on. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between heaven and earth, and the mule that was under him went away. It walked on. It walked on. Back to John. Eight and nine. The contribution. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what is that? What are they among so many? The source was the lad. He was available.
Yeah.
The greatest ability there is availability.
Yeah.
Brother Rick needs to be available. But the lad wasn't just available, he was prepared.
Yeah.
Probably his mommy had a lot to do with it, packing that lunch. Age and size didn't matter, youth didn't bother him, smallness wasn't a problem. What are they? What are they? The crowd is hopeless. Verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Well, if each one of them had a wife, that's 10,000. And if they just had one child each, that's 15,000. I think there's way over 20, but I don't know that. The surrender, the posture. The Lord was calm.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't excite him.
All right.
He lived by faith. Didn't do anything without the Father. He was cool, collected, calm, in control.
Yeah.
He knew what he was going to do. A committee would have taken down minutes and wasted hours. But not the Lord. He just takes control. He takes over. Verse 11, the creating. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, look right over across the page, chapter 5, verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment's just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. First thing he did was give thanks. He gave thanks. Brother Rick's sin, the American sin, is unthankfulness. I got so much. So much. Unthankful, ungrateful, wicked, selfish. Verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples unto them that were set down. And likewise the fishes, as much as they would. Everybody got as much as they would. As much as they would. Verse 11, the creating, what he did was give thanks. He blessed it. Asked the Father to bless it. That'd be even better. Why he did it was to honor God. The purpose of this miracle is so that we would believe. Where he did it was publicly. It wasn't out back. It wasn't here. When he did it, when he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Thank God for what I have, what we have. I don't need to complain about what I don't have, but that's what I do. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? It wasn't for a show. It wasn't for a show. Verse 12 is the cleanup.
Yeah.
And when they were filled. How about that?
Yeah. Right.
Anybody been filled lately?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, I've been filled and then filled. And the preacher been telling us about it. In America, we have 3, 4, 5 Christmases. When they were filled, then they did the cleanup. Ladies, you know about that. The cleanup. He said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain.
Yeah.
That nothing would be lost. And we'll go ahead and say our Lord is a conservative.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a conservative.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do this. The people of the servants obeyed. The purpose that nothing be lost.
Right.
Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12. I put in here big baskets. It was little loaves. Sister Betty and Sister Carolyn, in their Christmas care package to me, they had these little loaves, this little loaf of zucchini bread. And I imagine that's what the boy had, 5 small loaves and 2 fishes. But I don't think these baskets are small. It wasn't a basket like that. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that they... See, I can live off what other people throw away, really. I'm not talking about food, maybe vehicles, tires, old tires, just stuff like it, batteries. People give me used batteries and tires and stuff. I can live off the fragments myself. The pieces and the plenty. There was plenty left over. We got plenty left over at the house. Anybody want to come on over? The Creator could have fed 5 million instead of 5,000 or 25,000. Matter of fact, every day He feeds 8 billion. I think Brother Eddie told us about that. Every day. He could have done more if he wanted. This is the fragments, the leftovers. 14 is the motive. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth. This is the truth. I'm not just telling one now. This is the truth. I'm not just preaching now. This is the truth. This is the truth, that prophet that should come into the world. That's who he is. But he's more than that. He's a prophet. He's a priest. He's a king. He's God. He's more than sir. He's more than a man. He's God. He's God. The purpose, let's look ahead just a little bit, chapter 20. The purpose of feeding the 5,000. John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written.
Right.
Why? Why, Brother Rick, are they written down everywhere? That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down. Preserve it just for us. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you. You can do it with one hand behind your back, with your eyes closed. Thank you, your God. In Jesus' name, amen.